The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good news. I believe he has a word for you today. So let's get ready to hear that. Are you ready? Are you with me? All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for an amazing day to come together with friends and family to worship you. Lord, we take a moment. We pray for our nation. Lord, we ask for peace across our nation. We pray of this upcoming election. Lord, I'm so thankful that our trust is not in man or in a party or in a system, but it's in you. And we're believing that your will be accomplished here in our nation. We pray for our president and first lady as they're fighting COVID right now. Bring healing into their bodies and into everyone across our nation that's fighting this terrible sickness. We just ask for your will to be accomplished here. And now, God, as we're opening our hearts to your word, God, we just pause to push aside every distraction, every thought, everything that has happened this week. And we say, God, speak to us today, here, right now, through your word. Have your way in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. We're talking about the promises of God, and we've had this verse for several months now in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, that really anchors us around the promises, and I'm going to have you help me today. Let's say it out loud on the count of three, because I've been saying this verse a lot. I don't need your help now. So here and online, we're going to say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I had the chance this week to spend a couple of days with one of my mentors, with Pastor Hennessy, and man, we just had such a great time and so many good conversations around breakfast tables and dinner tables and different environments. And as we spent some time together, it was interesting to hear what God was putting in his heart, what God was putting in my heart, and some of the other guys around the table. And today's message really kind of grew out of that conversation that we were having. And one of the things that happened is Pastor shared with me, he said, you know, for their church, they're in Texas, he said, the Lord really put this word in my heart, just a single word. It was this word, upgrade. He said, I felt like several weeks ago, the Lord was just saying, there's more available. Like, there's better available. It's time for an upgrade. And he had this sentence. It was, living well in a haywire world. Don't you know we're in a haywire world right now? Haywire just means out of order, right? Gone wrong, upset, out of control. And I just want to announce over our lives today that it's possible to live an upgraded life, to live a good life in a haywire world. Does anyone believe that today? So I just want to share some things around that idea. Isaiah chapter 60. I'm gonna read this kind of over you today. I want you to hear it as God's heart towards you, God's heart towards your family, God's heart over your household. And here's what Isaiah says here. It's prophetic. He says, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. How many of you think that's an upgrade, right? If you had some bronze with you today and I said, hey, trade in your bronze and I'll give you gold, right? How many of you would take me up on that, right? This is the upgrade, right? Isaiah says, instead of bronze, I bring gold. Instead of iron, I bring silver. Another upgrade. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land. I've been praying that over America this week. Violence will no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be an everlasting light and your God your glory. Let me go to another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This passage is going to kind of tie together. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and into the promised land. And this passage in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, kind of reflects back on that. Okay, so we're gonna pull all of this together. It says this, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. all passed through the sea. So that's, he's reflecting back on the children of Israel and their journey as they followed the cloud, they followed the pillar of fire, they passed through the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, all right? So Paul's saying, he's looking at this story, and he's saying to you and I today, this is an example, so something we should learn from, something we need to pay attention to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also have lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Watch this. Nor complain. He's saying, don't complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things, he says it again, happened as an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This is a complicated, kind of deep scripture, all right? We didn't dive into like one little promise here, so I'm going to unpack it for you, okay? We're talking about upgrade. Our last service before the COVID shutdown was March the 15th. The next Sunday would have been something that we call State of the Church. How many of you have been to State of the Church before, right? Man, this is one of my favorite Sundays, because at State of the Church, we look back, we reflect on all that God allowed us to accomplish in the previous year, but my favorite part is we look forward and we cast vision for what we believe God is asking us to do in the coming year. And I have to tell you, I had what I felt was the biggest vision that God was going to allow us to cast in the last 7 years of our ministry here, and I'm telling you, we were ready. Like we had posters printed, we had videos ready, we had all this stuff. I mean, it's sitting in a closet, it's ready. We're still gonna get there, but it was around some upgrades. I mean, it was like, hey guys, let's upgrade our facility. Like let's do some stuff, right? And we had to postpone it. We'll get back to it. I'm confident. I'm not worried. So during COVID, we did a few things. We upgraded our parking lot, which isn't all that exciting to most of you, but it made a difference, people driving by. We changed the paint color on the outside, and we finally got rid of the green roof. That was my favorite part. People still can't find the church because we no longer have the green roof. But those were upgrades, right? We're upgrading, right? And now we're working with the city. We're trying our very best to get permission, to get a permit to upgrade our sign out on the main road. So, you know, here's the deal though. Those are all physical upgrades, right? I'll go back to this idea of calling you to prayer in this season. We live in two worlds. It's not just about the physical things, right? Let me say it this way. A church can upgrade their sign, their parking lot, their paint, their chairs, their carpet, their stuff, and still miss what God is wanting to do, right? Because it's not about physical stuff. So this idea of upgrade, I just want to be clear, is there is some vision in my heart to upgrade physical stuff, but I think it's more than that. I think it's time to upgrade our love for one another, for our community, for those that don't believe the same as us. I mean, I think it's time to upgrade our love. I think it's time to upgrade care for one another, or trust, or courage, or here's a really popular one, holiness. What if we say we're gonna increase holiness, right? Or in this season, I'm calling you to upgrade your prayer life, right? We're gonna upgrade. Have you ever experienced a great upgrade, like in real life? Anyone? I have a great upgrade story. We were living in Dallas, and they had just built the new Dallas Cowboys stadium. Do I have any Cowboys fans in the house today? A few of you. And if you don't like the Cowboys, just boo right now. Just get out of your system. Yeah, it's okay. Our Monday Night Football group is loving this season, and they're getting into it. So the Cowboys built their new stadium. And I was invited by some friends to come to their company. Was doing a tailgate party. And with the tailgate party came standing room only tickets. In other words, cheap seats, right? But Lisa and I were like, we don't care that much about the Cowboys or the football game. It'll be fun to get in. I wanted to see the giant screen, right? I wanted to eat a hot dog. I wanted all that stuff. And so we accepted the offer. We got into the stadium and we were in the cheap seats. And then we got a phone call from another friend, and this friend owned a suite in the Cowboy Stadium, and he had seen that Lisa and I had checked in on Facebook, and he said, "Hey guys, I saw you're at the stadium. Why don't you come up to our suite?" I mean, that's an upgrade, right? It took me about 3 seconds, right? And I'm like, yes, we got to the suite. We're eating food. I mean, like they spent more on food that night than my mortgage payment. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, we ate, we enjoyed the, and then something else happened. I have another friend who owns other seats in the stadium. He saw that we were there. He called. He said, "Hey, I have 2 seats on the front row on the 50-yard line. Would you and Lisa like to come down there?" I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm living in an alternate universe right now. This is not my life. This is so we go down. I mean, it was so much fun. And then he comes at the end and he says, "Do you want to go out on the field?" Like, absolutely. So this is a picture of me and my friend, and we're out on the field, and I was down on the star in the middle. I'm telling you, it was an upgrade, right? Here's the deal. When that happened, you know, until you've been upgraded, you don't really know what that kind of life could look like. You don't know what it feels like to be sitting in the suite, eating all the posh food. And I mean, like, you can only imagine the upgraded life. And I want to announce over Harvest today that there's a kingdom life available that I don't know if you even understand what it's capable of. I want to announce over you, I want to cast a vision for a better life, that there's an upgrade available. God wants you to know, you've never experienced this level of hope. You've never experienced this level of peace, of love, of joy, like whatever area God's stirring in your heart, like you don't even know, but God's inviting you to come up to the suite, right? He's inviting you to participate in this kingdom life. I don't know what 2020 has done for you and your psyche, your emotional, you know, wellness, but for me, it's convinced me that I need more Jesus. Anyone else? And I'm more spiritual than most of you, so if I think that, I'm teasing you. But I really, listen, when the shaking began, right? When everything began to unfold, I quickly realized how much of my life was shakable. Anyone else realize that? How quickly jobs change and wellness change and finances change. And I mean, it was like all of a sudden. And what I realized really in all of that is that there's some areas in my life where I had settled for less than what God had for me. It's just so easy to get stuck in a place that's less than what God has offered us. It's so interesting over these last several months to see that God's intention is to help move us forward to some new things, because now our hearts are yearning for something because normal has been taken away from us. But what we're really realizing is that a bunch of us were stuck. We're just stuck. I mean, it wasn't that life was necessarily bad. It's just that we had found ourselves in a stuck place. And as God's been working on me, what I've realized is I have a proclivity to complain, aka a bad attitude. I complain a lot. Would anyone be courageous enough to say that you've been more of a complainer the last few months than another time of your life? Come on. It'll feel good to just, you'll just release that, right? I noticed, and it's this season, it's been tough, right? Someone tagged me this week in a Facebook post from our former governor, Susana Martinez. She posted this picture with a gorgeous New Mexico rainbow trout. And someone tagged me, said, "Pastor, are you jealous?" And I looked at it, and I was jealous, and I appreciate it. But then, over 500 comments on this picture, and I went through, and I started looking, and I was just amazed, because it quickly went from nice fish to too bad we can't fish in our lakes in New Mexico, to I wish you were still the governor, to I hate our governor. I mean, it was like, bam. And once it got to that, once someone said, I hate our governor, it's like it unleashed a fury of complaining. And I just wanted to, I didn't say anything, but I wanted to just be like, it's just a fish, y'all. Like, it's a beautiful trout. I think you're missing the point. But the idea is that, honestly, there's a lot of complaining going on. And when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's pointing back to the children of Israel as they're exiting Egypt, you can tell complaining is a big deal in that text. You know, why is there so much complaining going on today? Because I think we know deep down that there's a better life available. And I'm not talking about COVID or politics or any, I'm talking about the life that God dreams for you. I think he dreams an instead of life. Okay, I want an instead of life. This is where Isaiah comes in, right? The heart of God. Instead of bronze, I want to upgrade you to gold. Instead of iron, I want to upgrade you to silver. The point, it's this idea that there's an upgrade available. And I just, when I read this week, I'm like, I want an upgraded life. I want the instead of whatever life I'm living now, I want the life that God is promising us. Talk about the promises of God. So today we go back to this story in the Old Testament, famous story, children of Israel coming out of Egypt, right? And it's a story of Exodus. It's a story of upgrade. And I'll just recap parts of it because, you know, maybe you don't know the whole story. But here's how it happens. Is one day the children of Israel wake up and they find themselves slaves in Egypt. And you may remember one of the characters is Joseph. Joseph was a hero, but after this great injustice in Joseph's life, God elevates him. God uses him to rescue the known world by partnering with evil leaders in Egypt. And then Pharaoh changes his mind, and he makes all of them slaves. And let me just tell you, in case, you know, again, I know our proclivity to complain, all right? What they're experiencing here is way worse than our pandemic. I mean, they were stuck as slaves for 400 years. Slaves, not quarantined, slaves. The good news in this story, as I read it, is that God will not allow his children to stay stuck in an evil system. So God chooses Moses as a mediator. And I love this word. It's not necessarily a word we use a lot today unless you're in a legal battle looking for a mediator. But in the gospel, a mediator is someone who's sent to stand between heaven's will and earth's circumstances. I mean, they're in the middle. They're kind of holding on to these two, and they're bringing the prophetic voice of God, of heaven, into the earthly evil circumstances. They're bringing perspective, and that perspective breaks the evil in the world. So Moses is sent as the mediator. And I think the point is that God really wants his people in a better place. Do you believe that? I really do. I think God wants his people in a better place. But if you read the story, it's a process for the children of Israel. It's a long process. The first generation escapes slavery, but then they settle for wilderness survival. I mean, they just settle for years and years of wandering in the desert. They're not slaves anymore, but they're not to the promised land yet. They're just kind of out there surviving. They never make it to the destination. And then their sons and daughters, the next generation, they actually enter the land. But the scripture, it's so interesting because it says, but they did not fully enter the rest. They didn't fully enter the rest. Rest is a word for like fully accomplished, Mission accomplished, right? In Genesis, it says that God, he made the heavens and the earth. He spent 6 days working and then he rested, right? It's like the period at the end of the sentence, right? I'm finished. I'm done. I'm able to rest now. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 talks about it. It says, there remains unentered rest for God's people. Oh, that just jumped off the page at me this week. There's an unentered rest available to you today. There's some untapped treasure available for you today. I'm talking about God and his kingdom and his values and his ways. I'm trying to help you to cut through all the chaos of the news cycle to see that God has something available for you today. So the story keeps going and the Pharaoh lets the slaves, you know, out and they're going. But then, you know the story. This is what we looked at a few weeks ago. Pharaoh changes his mind. He wants them back. He chases them down. He gets his army and horses and chariots. And they go after him. Exodus 14. And all of a sudden, between the sea and the chariots, the people of God begin to panic. They cry out for help. And the scripture says they go to Moses and they do what? They complain. Here it is again. There's complaining. Why'd you bring us out here to die? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why'd you make us leave? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Right? All this stuff, right? Here's the deal. When pressure came, their instinct was to get stuck again. It's like they had this momentary freedom. They're out of Egypt, and the pressure came, and they just settled back into that old way of thinking. And all of a sudden, it's like their hearts began to want to long for the slavery that for generations they'd longed to get out of. That's stuck, right? They got stuck. And God opened the Red Sea, and they crossed, and you know, and then they spent 40 more years just wandering through the desert, right? And there's some highlights, of course, and there's some miracles, but they never upgraded. They never found that place of rest that had been promised to them. So how can we learn from this journey? How do we get unstuck, right? How do we get through these potholes and get to the other side? So I want to talk to you about four places to not get stuck, all right? Four places to not get stuck. Number one, don't get stuck on the wrong side of the sea. Don't get stuck on the wrong side of the sea. What I'm really talking about is our salvation, okay? Salvation is what gets you on the upgrade list, okay? It's hard for some of us to remember these days, but before all the shutdowns, I really enjoyed traveling, and I traveled enough that I had a little bit, not much, but a little bit of status with one of the airline companies. And so when I would travel, anyone remember this? The first thing I would do is I would make sure that my name was on the upgrade list. Anyone ever have that? And man, I've been upgraded a couple times. It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm going from coach to first class. I got that leg room and the hot towel to put on my face. And you know, it's a good upgrade. And so when I would get there, I'm like, I gotta make sure my name is on the upgrade list. That was the first thing I did. I'm asking you today to make sure your name is on the upgrade list. And the way you do that, it's called salvation. It's called accepting the free gift that Christ has paid for on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. While we were still sinners, he came after us. And I'm asking you today, don't get stuck on the wrong side of the sea. I'm asking you to accept the gift of salvation that Christ has made available. You look at the people of God and no one had witnessed the power and favor of God like these slaves. I mean, think about it. The plagues, right? All the plagues, the frogs and the gnats and the hail and the dead fish and the blood and the water, all of this. And then they're free and they get to the Red Sea and then they begin to complain again, right? And, oh, why'd you do this to us? Didn't we tell you, you know, Moses, that we didn't want to do this? Well, actually, if you study it Actually, they did the opposite. Exodus chapter 4, Moses and Aaron come with this vision, and the people, it says this, the people believed when they heard the Lord had looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads in worship. Here's what I'm telling you. The vision for upgrade was presented to the people of God. And Exodus 4 says they believed in that. They accepted that. They turned their hearts to worship. But then when the pressure came, they lost their enthusiasm. They lost their confidence. And all of a sudden, they're like, I don't know if this is what I want. Why don't we just go back, you know, to that slave life that we were in? Listen, trouble can expose our low levels of trust. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe, I know that's where the people of God in this story are. Maybe that's what this season has done for you. As you've been squeezed, it's just caused you to question everything. And maybe you've abandoned your faith in this season. You're like, I don't know if this is true. I don't know what to believe. I don't know. So I'm trying to dial you in to the promises of God. And I'm asking you, don't get stuck on the wrong side. Accept what Christ has done for you. And I love the emphasis here in this story because this is where we see the promise we talked about. Stand still and see the salvation of God. He says, this is so important, y'all. This promise, he says, stand still. Stop working so hard. Stop striving so hard and watch what I'm going to do. This is a picture of salvation. You know why? What he's saying to the people of God, there's not a boat that can save you. There's not a life jacket that can save you. It is life or death. And I'm asking you, this is Christ talking to him. He said, I'm asking you, watch me take care of you. Watch me save you. This is where every spiritual story begins. This is where my story begins. It's where your story begins. Is the moment when we realize there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. And that's the moment where Christ comes and he says, watch me. Watch me rescue you. Watch me forgive your sins. Watch me come in and take care of you. So I'm just, it's a bold question, but I'm asking you today, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you accepted what Christ has made available to you? Because the reality is there's this huge gulf between the destiny God has for us and our sinful condition, and there's nothing we can do. It's impossible to live on this side of the sea, so how do we get across? We need a rescue, right? And thank goodness there's one available. Jesus says, I'll do it. I'll take care of you. I'll save you. But there's got to be a moment where you cross over, you accept the grace of God, you accept the forgiveness of your sins, you say, I am going to cross into the destiny that God has for me. Colossians 1 says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now you can go a long ways to a destination and still not cross into it, right? I don't know if any of you ever been to Niagara Falls. Any of you been up there? We were on a trip years ago, and we ended up within about 2 hours of Niagara Falls. We had some extra time that we had not planned on, and someone said, hey, you should go to Niagara Falls. So we did. We loaded up. We got to Niagara Falls, and because we had not planned on going, we didn't have our passports with us. We couldn't. And so we get there, and literally everyone we ran into was like, oh, you think it's nice here? You should see it from the Canada side. You should, right? I don't know if you've ever had, and I'm like, you ever been so close, but like you can't get there, right? So we're stuck on this side, and everyone's telling us how great it is on the other side, and we didn't have access to get the other side, or maybe we did, but maybe we couldn't get back. I don't know what would have happened, right? But I remember, it's like you can get so close, but not cross. And what I see in American religion is there's a lot of people who have come right up to the line They're looking at everything God's provided for them. They might even be doing all of the, quote, right things, right? They're going to church, and they're giving in the offering, and they're serving on Dream Team, and they're doing all the actions. But the reality is, I'm just asking you today, don't go all the way to Niagara Falls and not go to Canada to see the best view, which still haven't been. I don't know if it's actually the best. I just... cross over. Go get everything that God has for you. But the starting point is to accept this gift of salvation. Here's the second place. Don't get stuck living like a slave. Don't get stuck living like a slave. They cross the Red Sea. The army's destroyed behind them. Legally, technically, they're free, right? But now, I've heard it this way, God got the Israelites out of Egypt, but now he had to get Egypt out of the Israelites. It's been 400 years developing new ways and new styles and new culture and all this stuff. Now you had to get all of that out of them. They were stuck in this perpetual cycle, right? I mean, just a loop. Just kept, no matter what they did, just kept looping back and looping back and looping back. They got to the Red Sea, right? Oh no, the Red Sea, we want to be slaves. Loop back. They cross the sea and they freak out. There's no more bread. What are we going to do? They loop back. God provides manna, right? They run out of water. Oh no! And they loop back. God provides water. I mean, over, and it was just like bam and bam and bam. Listen, I don't want you stuck in this cycle of slavery. Just I'm trying to help you today to break free, to get that junk out of your heart, to create a new course, to upgrade. They're complaining to Moses, we had meat in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here to starve? Right? And Moses, I don't know exactly what he said, but I would have looked at him and said, are you serious? Don't you remember the whips and the beatings and the rapes and the screams? And I mean, don't you remember? Like, oh my goodness. Listen, there are some people who would rather go back to being slaves than to fight for freedom. I'm asking you today, don't get stuck like a slave. There's more available to you today. And I'm not telling you it's an easy life. God, that's not the promise, right? In fact, it's called the narrow path, right? It's never been easy. It's not easy today. It's never been easy. But God loves us too much to leave us in that slave mindset. So what he'll do is he'll create circumstances so that we're forced to rely on him. Right? If we go back to the Egyptians, for bread, for water, for protection, right? One of the things in this season that's happened is it's forced us to figure out where do we really get our sustenance from? Where do we get our joy from? How do we survive? And I think we're going to miss something, church, if we don't use this season to recalibrate our hearts to understand that God is the only source. He's not doing anything to punish us. He's actually helping us to try to get unstuck so he can upgrade our lives. The problem is, when you get unstuck, you get a new identity. And that new, so I know, it's new. It's a new identity. And it's so hard to accept that newness because we don't know it yet. It's like the people of God are like, you know, I know that I had to break bricks when I was a slave, but at least I had dinner at night. You know, it's like, seriously? But really, it's like us today, like we'd say, like, well, I know that my marriage is terrible and my kids are rebellious and I'm acting out and taking, you know, drugs or having sex or doing this or whatever to fill the void, but at least it's a routine I can count on. Really? Like, that's the life that you want? Like, you're okay? I'm asking you today, don't settle. Jesus came he conquered sin. He conquered. And because of that, you can as well. Don't accept the identity of a slave, right? Don't settle in to that. I'm asking you today, will you accept your new identity? You're not an addict. You're a son of God, right? You're not a lousy spouse. You're a daughter of God, right? I'm asking you, will you accept your new identity? Here's your identity. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's who you are. That's who you are. Don't get stuck as a slave. Number three, don't get stuck in a pattern of sin. The sad part of the story, a lot of sad parts, but one of the sad parts is that even though Moses was God's chosen leader, he never made it to the promised land. Now, Moses got stuck. He disqualified himself from entering the promised land. Here's what happened, in case you don't know. Exodus chapter 17, the people needed water. So God told Moses to go to a rock and to strike the rock, and out came water, which, man, we could do a whole message right there. I mean, there's a picture of the gospel, right? That the rock had to be struck. The rock had to be struck, and from it flows the living water. You're not getting it, but it's okay. So Moses, he strikes the rock, out comes the water. People are like, oh, we got water, woohoo. A little bit later, they run out of water again. They forget. They complain. This is the cycle. Oh my gosh, my life. And they go to Moses and like, Moses, we need water. And this time, God had a different idea to get the water. But Moses, God says to Moses, speak to the rock. Right? You know why? The rock only had to be struck once. Going back to the metaphor. Jesus Christ, he had to be struck once for the salvation of mankind. You have to be struck again. So God says, to speak to the rock. But Moses loses his temper, right? But to be fair, right, he had thousands and thousands of complaining people to put up with, right? So he goes to the rock and he strikes the rock. Here's what I want you to see. Moses defaulted to the familiar. He's like, this worked before, I bet it'll work again. Are you following? He said, this is what I know. He presumed God instead of relying on him. He presumed. He's like, I still have God in the mix here, right? And this is what he had me do last time, but he didn't rely on what God had told him to do. So let me just say it really plain. He disobeyed. He disobeyed. Just think about your own life for a minute. What do you default to? What's your familiar that you just return to over and over and over? You see, the problem with sin is that it becomes easier to keep on sinning. It's like that first time, you really have to work the nerve up. You talk yourself into it. You're weighing the consequences, but you step across that line and it becomes easier to just keep going across that line. Your heart just becomes calloused to the voice of the Holy Spirit that's trying to keep you safe, that's trying to point you in the right direction. And then we just get into this pattern, and the pattern keeps us stuck, and they become strongholds. Habits, they stay so long that we just settle with them. But I have really good news for some of you today. There is a power available that can break the pattern of sin, of perversion, of depression, of pornography, of anger, of loneliness, of addiction. I'm just telling you, like, you can get set free from that pattern. And in case you don't know if you want to be set free, let me just give you a disgusting but accurate picture from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 says this, "A dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly." Such a picture of what happens when we get stuck in that cycle of sin and we just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And this is why I want you to know there's an upgraded life available for you today. You don't have to go back to your vomit. There's a better life. Here's the last one. Don't get stuck worshiping an idol.
Don't get stuck worshiping an idol. When Moses goes up the mountain of Sinai to meet with God, he stays up there a little too long, at least in the people's minds, because we tend to be super impatient, right? So they're down there, they're waiting on Moses, like, why is he taking so long? And someone has a great idea. They're like, let's just make a cow out of gold and we'll worship it. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there to see how that idea like surfaced? It's kind of hard being here now, reading about it. Like, who had that idea and how'd they convince everyone else that it was a great idea that they're going to build a cow, you know? But they did. They built a cow. And they begin to worship it, right? And you just got to understand, these are the same people who saw the Red Sea part. Right? These are the same people who woke up one day and walked out of their tent and the ground was covered in manna. Whoa. The same people who saw water come out of a rock, right? The same people following the cloud and the pillar of fire. What I'm trying to tell you, they had experienced God's glory at high levels and they yearned for it. They wanted it. They wanted something to worship. But when Moses goes up the mountain and they're left to themselves, they're like, let's just create something to worship. What they wanted, this is what our hearts yearn for. They want security. They want significance. Like, your heart was made to worship, I promise you. I could say it this way. You're already worshiping someone or something or some system or some way. Like, we were created to worship. The point is we got to make sure that we're worshiping the right person. So they created this golden calf. And I know that none of you, I don't think, are worshiping golden calves, okay? And I know you're not. If I tried to pitch that idea today, you'd throw me out. Be like, Pastor, that's dumb. We're not going to do that, right? But here's what we do, is we worship something by finding worth or value or significance. So we create these idols in our hearts that we worship places and people. We worship careers or achievements or football teams or, you know, I mean, whatever. And listen, those things are not evil. The golden calf wasn't evil either. I mean, it was just an object, right? It's about what has the attention of our hearts. And so the people of God, they began to worship here, this idol, and they got stuck. They got stuck. Moses, man, he came down the mountain. He had to break that party up, remember? He's upset. He had to whip them back into shape. I'm just asking you today, who has the affection of your heart? Don't get stuck worshiping something that can't deliver on the promise it's made you. Don't get stuck there. So let me just end with this. It's fast. It's going to sound like a lot. It's not. Five essentials if we're going to live this upgraded life. Okay? Super fast. Worship team's going to come. That way you know I'm telling you the truth. Okay? How do we get this upgrade? Five things real quick. Number one, obedience. Obey God's word, especially in times of chaos. Especially, like right now, if you need a true north, you go to God's word and you just obey, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you don't understand, even like just obey God's word. And listen, it's never been more difficult, in my opinion, for our generation to obey God's word because it's not popular. It's going to push you out of the comfort levels you're used to. You're going to be challenged. But I'm here today to tell you, if you want all God has for you, just obey. Just obey. A lot of voices right now, a lot of voices in our lives. Obey God's word. Here's number two, is perspective. Perspective. I'm convinced that most people in church today need a better perspective. Here's a perspective for you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I love Paul. Paul wrote about perspective. He said this. He said, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Isn't that awesome? I'll just tell you this. Paul was in a worse place than you and I when he wrote that. You can go back and study it. I'm convinced we need a better perspective. This has been a chaotic year. Do you believe that? Here's the perspective. God is still on the throne. God wasn't ousted by COVID. He won't be ousted by whatever happens November 3rd or 30th or whatever date we finally figure that one out, right? I'm just telling you, God's still on the throne. Like, some of us just need a perspective change to just every day go, you know what? Whatever happens today, God has got it under control. God is good, right? Here's number three, endurance. You need a staying power. Don't give up, right? I started this message by asking you to pray for our nation. This next month is critical. I'm asking you to exercise endurance this next 30 days. Pray and then pray and then pray some more and then pray a little bit more and just dig in and say, God is good. God's in control. I'm not going to be swayed. I'm weird in this way. I like running, and I like running long distances. My wife's like, I'm only going to run if there's a bear chasing me, you know? And I like to run. I just like to get out there. It does something for me. It just clears my head. So any distance runners? Like three of you? Two of you? One of you? Two of us. Was that a wave or no? No. It was? I used to run. All right, we'll take that. Listen, if you run distance, you get tired. But at some point, they have what's called the second wind. Isn't that a beautiful thing when that happens? Oh my goodness. You feel like you're gonna die. And then something happens and you're just rejuvenated. And you have that second wind. This is where I feel like the church is right now. We've been running hard and fast and uphill and through the snow with rocks being thrown at us. I mean, it's been bad, right? And I've been praying for you this week for a spiritual second wind or a third wind or a fourth wind. I don't know. Like, I'm just asking you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get impatient. Don't give in to complaining. Don't let the bad attitude take over right now. Like, this is not the time. This is the time the church has to stand up. The church needs to rise. The church needs to lead. Are you anyone with me? So you're going to need some endurance, a second wind. Number four, confidence. Confidence. There's so much more in the story of the Israelites. We probably spend all year in this one story. So we didn't get to go to this part, but you might remember it. The 12 spies are sent in to check out the enemy territory, and they come back, right? And their confidence was rattled, right? And 10 out of them were like, oh, we can't do it. They're giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers to them. And oh my goodness, I don't think we can do it. They lost their confidence. You remember that? But Caleb says in Numbers 13, he says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Just love his confidence. I mean, he was still a little grasshopper to the giants, right? But he's like, we should do it, guys. I'm looking for some people in Albuquerque going, we should do it. We should possess the land. We should own our city in the spiritual realms. We should live with confidence. We should live with enthusiasm and with care and with love. And all these things have been upgraded in our hearts. Like, let's give that away to the city where God has sent us. Let's live with peace. Let's live with joy. Like, we can do it, right? I can't say that without, we can do it, right? You can do it, right? Looking for some confident people of God. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Last one, courage. You need some courage today. Courage just means break through the old failures, the old fears, the old mindsets, and enter into the rest of God, the completion of God. Looking for some people with courage. I told you I'd be fast, so why don't you stand with me? Oh, man. I don't know if you got as much out of today as I got out of today, but I sure hope you did. I hope God is stirring your heart today. We're going to worship in just a moment. But let me just help you. Today's not about inspiring you. Today is about creating a place where we open our hearts to the places in our lives that God wants to upgrade. So I don't know where you're stuck today. You're probably stuck at a whole bunch of different places, right? Where that cycle, I don't know where you're at. You're stuck in slavery or old identity or old habits or old worship. You've given your heart to something that, you know, I don't know. I don't know where you're stuck there. Maybe you're just stuck with a bad attitude, a complaining spirit. I don't know where you're stuck, but we're going to pray in these last few minutes that the Holy Spirit would just come in to this space. Actually, I think he's already here. Do you believe that? Come into our hearts. Just work in our lives. Just provide that upgrade, right? You know how awesome it was when I got the text, like, hey, do you want to come up to the suite? Hey, do you want to come down to the 50-yard line, right? I mean, listen, the invitation right now to you is like, it's so much sweeter. I mean, God's like, hey, I came to give you that full life. Do you want that? Do you want to come up here to this place that I've prepared for you? Do you want to come and allow me to just pour into your life in the middle of pandemic and chaos and craziness and all this stuff? Like, I still want to bless you today. Does anyone need that today? Anyone need, raise your hand. Show me. If you're just like, Pastor, I need that today. Some part of my life, I just need that today. So Jesus, right now, Holy Spirit, right now, just begin to work deep in our hearts. Deep in our hearts. We're not dealing with surface stuff today. You're working on deep places of our hearts today. The process to unstuck us is a, man, it's a tough process. It's a big process, but you love us too much to just let us settle in those old places. And so right now, will you begin a work in our hearts? We're gonna turn our hearts to you. We're gonna give you our one true worship. We're gonna give you our attention. We're gonna recalibrate our hearts towards you today. Lord, we're gonna open and listen. But God, right now, will you begin to work in our hearts? And I pray, Lord, for those that are stuck on the wrong side, Lord, that haven't fully accepted the salvation, the free gift that you've provided for us today. Lord, I pray that we would accept that today. I pray for those who are stuck in a cycle of sin and slavery, Lord, that you would set us free today to walk in the freedom that you have provided for. I just ask you today, Lord, to upgrade our lives, our spiritual lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship for a few minutes this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.